Soon, one thing you're going to find out about me is, first off, I'd like to tell you just why I'm qualified to even be talking to you. I'm really not. But a little bit like Arnold, I've been down a long road with these folks, and I can help you with some of the practical experiences that I've been through. I've been building domes with David. Little did I know where this was going to take me when I started this sleigh ride. We've had a lot of fun. A lot of the things we've done first started off as an idea. Some of them worked, some of them did not. Primarily what I'm going to do here is we're going to talk about some of the design aspects in regards to openings and closings. And there are some things that worked and some things that didn't work. As we go along, I'm going to show you a lot of photos, a lot of slides of domes. As we go through those, I'm going to be talking simultaneously about openings and coatings, okay? There's a lot of design aspects that are really important to me as a builder because I want them to make sure that they make sense for you. One thing I really hate is albatrosses. All I'm going to do is build a dome and have something that you want on your dome that turns out badly so that you hate it, you hate me, we hate the building, everybody hates everything, and we wish that we'd never thought of one like a dome. What we want to do is make sure that we do the proper planning so that there is something that not only looks nice, but is also constructible. Does that make sense? Okay, that's what we want to do. When we get over there tomorrow, this is one of the homes you'll see. This is Larry's home. Years ago, thank you. My lovely assistant, Annette, will be happy to pass those out to you.
Just yes, indeed.
Grab one of those. We're going to be going over those briefly as we go along. As we talk about some of these photos, they will be actually available on the tour tomorrow. When we build a dome, primarily for a resident, I've often found that people that build a residence, many times they want to have doors and windows and those things. What's really funny is they want them to be straight up and down. Go figure. You know, but most domes have a three-dimensional curve. Not only do they curve this way, curve this way. Kind of hard to put a flat straight up and down surface in there. There's only about three or four ways that you can do that. This happens to be with an odd method. We're going to talk about those different methods as we go around. He actually has two different methods here. This total surface right here, you can see that the airform comes from this way. This is all part of the airform when it was inflated. This was all inflated as part of the dome shell. But you'll notice that right over here, there's also a nice little bay or bow window that is added on as part of the kitchen there. It's a nice addition. This is what we call, or I call, a dormer style, because we leave a hole in the dome shell and then we build all that afterwards. There's another augmentation. You get another good view of that. You can see the line where the dome, you can see the line where the dome actually should have been, but then the pillow comes up. It's it. Look. Are we back up?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you can see where the dome would have been there, but instead we added this pillow to create the flat area. Those are called augmentations. The augmentations you see on this one is kind of a new idea that we had then, was to put an arch in the top so that we could put not only the door and the windows in, but then we could also put lights or windows above it, okay? Can we do that? Yeah, we can. And they actually work really well. One of the things you need to also understand is that this right here on the very bottom here is at the very curvature of the dome itself. It's right alongside the circle. So this goes straight up and all this augmentation is built out from the dome shell. So it actually comes out, but it's still on the same radius as the dome. Okay? Does that make sense? One of the things you'll see out there, by the way, Larry's home on this is number 31. It's called Shamrock Chateau. That was the home that we just saw. The coating on the outside of his dome is the airform. We leave the airform on those buildings for as long as we can. Can you coat them immediately? Right after construction, yes, you can. Before long, before we get to the end, we've got to make sure that we cover the different types of coatings that we can cover. All right? I like to be a little informal in here. It's not like I want you to stand up and tell me all your name. But if you have a question, please raise your hand. Speak loudly because we're recording this, all right? This building here that you see on the screen now, on your plant here, on the map, it is map number, or building number 8. It's up near the training center. And this is here simply to show you that sometimes coatings can be nothing more than vegetation that can grow around the building. Now, this happens to be a plant called honeysuckle, and it, don't know why, but it grows up this tall on its top. But what it does, people ask me all the time, does that attack the fabric? Does it hurt the fabric? Actually, what it does, it shades the fabric. So now it actually helps a little bit with the energy efficiency, but the UV off the fabric. So it's actually helping protect the fabric. You'll also notice that the doorway in this is really, it's really dark here, but I can see it really well there. It's fairly noticeable, but we won't talk about it. It's an inset doorway. This is a coating on our office dome, main office dome, that we call chain shell. After the dome is constructed, we make sure that it certainly is all finished off and all the openings are taken care of. Then we cover the entire building with chain link fence. Why chain link fence? That's because it will conform to the shape of the dome. If you try to do it with some other type of reinforcing material, such as, what do they call that, wire, stuff like that, yeah. It's like trying to take an orange and cover an orange with a sheet of paper. It just crunches up and you can't get it to lay smooth. Chain link nestles in itself and you can stretch it in some areas and it'll lay flat. So we will cover the entire surface of the dome with chain link fencing. Secure it to the bottom, the top, make sure it's all tied in, and then we'll cover that with shotcrete, the same shotcrete that we use to build the dome shell. Same mix. You can see that afterwards we then add colorants. We add all kinds of, we use concrete stains that will then seal the concrete. Sometimes we use something that I call rebar art. While the last shot of concrete is still wet, my guys come in and make it look like flagstone. After we coat it, then they cruise the paint with the concrete stain or with concrete paint. They can use all a variety of colors to create whatever you like on them. Yes, ma'am?
Can you put pigment in the concrete while you're shooting it?
The question is can you add pigment into the concrete while you're shooting? Yes, you can. Matter of fact, we do that a lot. Problem, it's not a problem. You need to understand that most of those pigmentations are what I call earth tones. In other words, you can't get a bright, bright yellow. Some of these reds, I don't know if you can get the bright reds that you want, but you can do that, yes. You got a question, sir?
Yeah, the concrete that you, the shotcrete on the outside, is that over the composite shell, like do you have insulation sandwiching between the two?
Yes, he's asking if this is over top of the insulation. What we do is we usually put the chain shell right over top of the airform. This is after we've got the dome totally completely built, possibly even several years down the road, so that airform is actually bended, protecting, and the vapor barrier for it. You don't remove that. You use that as the base underneath that, and it works really well. How the cost of doing the chain shell of this is roughly $8 a square foot. This is probably the roughest, toughest, meanest coating you can put on a dome. Bulletproof, hail-proof, all other kinds of proof. But it's probably the most expensive also.
How thick is that when you're...
He's asking how thick is the coating. It's got to cover the chain link fence. So it's going to be probably, and it'll go on in 3 applications. You put what we call a rough coat down first. Then we like to let it go away and let it shrink and crack. Then we'll put another coating over where we'll almost totally embed the chain link fence. Let it shrink and crack, and it'll shrink and crack less because of the previous shot. And then after that, we'll put the final coat over the outside. That's where you do your artwork. And then coat with the silicone or with the coatings, concrete coatings after that. So it'll take 3 shots, and it'll usually end up 1.25 inches, maybe. An inch if we really do it well. It depends a little bit on how tight you pull that chain link fence over the airfoil. Yes, sir.
Quick question here. So that's exposed concrete that we see right there.
That's right. This is exposed concrete right here.
So is it? It will absorb a certain amount of water and some debris.
Well, that's the neat thing about it. We put some type of a coating over it that it will shed the water.
Okay, so freeze thaw cycles won't be going.
That's right. Freeze thaw should not become a problem.
That was my question. You had shrinking and crack on the first two coats, but you didn't say anything about shrinking and crack on the third coat.
That's because we don't want any.
Is there any?
You're going to get some. It's going to get some.
Coatings and will.
Depending on the coatings you use, that should help bridge those cracks so they're negligible. Okay? Now, the problem you're going to see when you get out there, by the way, this building here is part of our office. This is actually building B. It's the office. This is building B that you're looking at. What's it right here? You may see some cracking and some effervescing on some of our domes. It's the process I just explained to you to coat the outside to do it really proper. It's the way they used to stucco in the olden days. Probably remember that, right, Arnold? And that would take a long period of time, 2-3 weeks. Well, David's kind of a march quick guy type of guy, so instead of allowing the concrete to shrink and crack, we probably did most of these in 2-3 days. So it's going to shrink and crack a little bit more noticeable. You'll notice that. You'll see it out there. All right? Any questions? You'll notice the openings on this that we just put little tiny. We cut left frameworks right inside the airform itself. When we inflated the airform, we built a square buck that would be large enough to put an air conditioner. We mounted them at a certain height, held it up to the airform, and sprayed foam around it, and the foam held it in place. And then we built a dome around this. When we got done, we cut the hole, and that became the air conditioners for this home, for this building. It's an experiment. Everything on this sheet of paper, everything that you will see out there, is an experiment in one form or another. When David and his brothers started building domes, they had a patent on the process that was mentioned. There was no manuals, which means everything that you see out there is just the next step of what are we trying next. So it's kind of fun. It's also a lot of pain in the neck. So you can see that this dome, the air conditioner, is not a central air conditioner. This is a 40-foot diameter dome that has 4 or 5 of these little window units that you buy down at Walmart. If one of them goes bad, you still have 3 others that are keeping the building cool while you take that one out, throw it away, and go buy another and put it in. This right here has been a little bit of a, what do we call those awnings. We just actually made an awning out of our fabrics, and then we concreted right over top of it so that the water would not enter in there. There's a ring, okay? Part of the problem, you got a hole here, but it's on a, water starts running off the roof and wants to come right in, okay?
Recommend that over an augment to the things? So rub it on that.
You got to do whatever you want to do to keep the water from coming in and to make it look good. There's all different kinds of things that you can do with open. It's interesting that as I've talked to people far and wide, hobbit houses. I don't know what that has come up with. Maybe Lord of the Rings movies and all this. People are asking about hobbit houses. But you can see that there are many people that have coated over the outside of their airforms. You can see that this is a stucco type coating that has been applied directly to the airform outside, and they've done it with trowels and other methods to give it more of a Spanish stucco type look. Now these are products, they're widely used around. They're synthetic stuccos. They're products like Drive-It, Stowe, Synergy. Seems like every company that makes paint also has a product line of synthetic stucco. The real terminology for this is called EIFS. Help me out with that, Rick. EIFS.
Exterior Insulated Finish System.
Bravo. Good job. So, what it is it's just a way of making the outside look like it's stucco or a rock when it really isn't. Okay. Now, we've done an awful lot of buildings with this stucco. we put it over top of the airform, because you want the airform there to be the vapor barrier for the building, and it provides a good fabric substance to hold everything together. Also, it helps protect the fabric from the UVs of the sun. If you're ever going to use the EIFS system, the synthetic stuccos, there's a couple of procedures that I really, really urge you strongly to do. Number one, make sure that you're applying it to a clean surface. That means you give the dome a bath. How do you wash your dome? With water and soap and water. You can spray it with pressure washers, but I caution you when you start spraying pressure washers on an airform. So you've got a piece of fabric here, and another piece of fabric that comes over that's welded together. Kind of like the opening of my shirt. If I spray it one way, the water will repel and go off. If I spray it the other way, there's a chance that I may pop it open. So, I don't necessarily like pressure washers. When they wash the dome at my house, they use a sponge mop and either tie, if there's a little bit of mold or black stuff on it, a little bit of Clorox in the water, that's how they wash it, with a mop, sponge mop. Isn't that how you wash your dome? You never wash your dome. Dirty dome guys. Yeah, that's how we wash our dome. You wash the dome, and then before you apply any coating to the outside of the dome, you got a real problem with the airforms that we've learned. The airform is made of vinyl fabric. One of the ingredients in the chemical composition of the vinyl fabric is a thing called a polymer. The vinyl fabric is made of PVC. Maybe you've seen PVC as a hard, rigid pipe or conduits. Well, it is. It's hard and rigid. To make it flexible, like a fabric, they add a lot of polymers to it so that it retains its flexibility. Well, we inflate it, and we leave it there. A lot of those polymers that are in the fabric tend to come out, tend to migrate. So we have, in conjunction with a couple of coating companies, they have developed a coating that we use as a primer now. It's called monoform primer. And as we wash the airform, the next step is to apply a coat of primer over that entire dome airform that is going to get coated. The primer does two things. Number one is it seals in those polymers so they don't come out. If they come out underneath the coating, it'll make your coating blister. And we don't like blisters, okay? But it also, when it dries, it has a tacky surface. I mean, it's kind of fun if you get on some of these big domes that you've applied some of the primer on, it's really sticky, all of a sudden you feel like Spider-Man. Because you get on the surface and you crawl around really cool. I know, it's kind of silly. But it's fun, you can do that. But I wouldn't recommend that.
What's doing after you put that coating on? Do you do it right away?
As soon as you get the primer put on, you'll want to make sure that it's dry, because it's...
No, I mean after construction of the dome, the initial construction of the dome.
Oh, how soon do I need to coat it?
Yeah.
The fabric, it depends a little bit on the fabric and the exposure. Some people like to cover their fabric right at construction. Some people wait 5 years. Some of the fabrics that we have a warranty of 5 years. And then I'm obligated to tell you, if their warranty of their fabric is now gone, you may want to coat it, simply because nobody else is going to help you with it. We have some fabrics down at our shop down here. Matter of fact, the training center there, number 6, they've never been coated. They're 16 years old, and they're still holding up fairly well. My dome, I have the Orion. Mine is home number 30, very bottom left-hand corner. We've been in that home now 7 years, right? And I'm thinking now about putting some coating on that one, just on account of that.
The number 6 is 15 years old?
The number 6 there is about 16 years old. Yep. Have a look at that when you get down there. All right. You put that primer on, you let it dry. And when you put it on, it'll give it a milky color. It'll look almost like Elmer's. It'll smell a little bit like Elmer's glue. Any of you glue sniffers know that? Anyway. You put the glue down and that primer down, it dries, it'll dry clear, but it'll be real tacky. I would say get your first coat of coating on there as soon as you can after that. Now, remember, this is a water-based stuff. We learned from some sad experience. We were coating a large dome. My boys were spraying and doing a real good job. And then I realized it was getting cooler in the evening, and the paint that they were putting on, the coating they were putting on, wasn't drying before the sun went down. And it never did dry at night. And then by the time the dew came out the next morning, we had some nice, lovely runs. So you got to make sure that you hit that window where you can get enough coating on, but not so much, not so long into the day that it doesn't get a chance to dry before the dew hits it the next morning. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. You can see that with this dome, what they have done is they literally, in this opening, have sculpted out a nice hole. When you inflate the air form, you mark this out and you just figure how big of a hole you need, and you don't build dome there. Just don't build dome there. When the engineers will tell you how much extra rebar and where to put it so that you can reinforce that hole. You spray it all up, and when you're done, what they have done here is they've taken their foam gun and they've added a ridge all the way around to give it that lift, blended it in, and coated it with the coating to create that hole. You can see that over this skylight, they've added a little bit of foam and sculpted it as they've stuccoed this to give it an eyebrow so that the water won't come down, hit it, flow around it. Okay?
For those coatings, have they ever tried the elastomeric coating like you use on roofs of...
and most of those will work fairly well. You have to make sure, this is a note, for any coatings that you put on your dome, always use a minimum of two coats. Always a minimum of two. Three is great. I don't want you to just throw money at your building for not. What you do is when you put the first coat down, it will dry. As it dries or cures, little holes, pinholes, all over it pop open. It's kind of cool. It lets some of the moistures and stuff migrate out. But you have to have that second coat over it because that will seal over the first pinhole. Okay. Everybody with me? Okay, good. All right. The doors in this, it's kind of hard. I'm sorry that this projector isn't right. There's a window here, a door here, and a window here. This is what I call an inset door. You leave an opening, but then the carpenter comes in and using standard construction, standard materials, he builds a wall in there that can then be insulated with standard insulation. I prefer even spraying those in with urethane foam and building a doorway that is inset. Okay. Here's the inset. Here's a door that's set in the inside. You can see that they have the door and skylights along the side, but this is all part of an augment from the inside. These again are augments, but you see the augment. Golly, I wish that was a little brighter. It looks really good here on the screen. No, I'm not sure. This is just a square opening that we've built into the dome as an augmentation that has come out. And then they've used block walls. They've used cinder block to create the flat spot where they've built the doors and the windows.
You turn the lights out.
Yeah. Put the lights on there.
Wouldn't turn the lights totally out.
Lights. I don't see lights.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can see the actual block work here now. All right. And then what they've done here is they've actually added a little awning over this, which helps get the water away and drips off. Every time I've built a monolithic dome, one of the fun things is when we leave, I know that that dome is not going to leak. It will not leak. Many people call me up after we've got the dome built and we leave. A few have called and said, your dome's now leaking. Come fix it. When I come back and inspect it, I like to simulate a rainstorm. I get a whole garden hose out and just hose it down. Every time I found that it hasn't been my dome that's leaking, it's the installation of the doors and the windows. That they don't flash it properly, so I get the water to go away from it. Okay? Here's some other ideas. These are dormer style windows. You can see that this airform has a little bit of an augment here, but because of its height and shape, this is almost a half sphere. It comes up almost to where to the first top of the door window, it's almost perfectly straight, and it can add this almost right to the dome without much of an augment. We can do an awful lot with shapes, okay? Dormer on the top, But it has conventional construction connecting the two to give it a nice little flavor. And then here's the other, a connector over here. How what?
How effective are the dormers?
How effective are the dormers? Again, when you go to the office over there, building number six, not hard to see those with that. Building number six will have dormer style windows on them. I don't like them, personally. If you like them, they're great. The ones on the office of number six, we've replaced them twice now. They're wood rods. Okay.
Have you tried using the extruded polystyrene for building them, and then would they still leak? Is it a design leak or is it a materials leak?
You can try that extruded polystyrene if you'd like.
Yes, I am.
Here's a different look, a different angle of the same building.
Listening.
This is actually near, this is a little place called Manan, Idaho. Isn't this Boy Taylor's house? Yeah, he likes dormers. I don't know what coating he has on there. This is David's house. You'll see it tomorrow. I wanted to show this to you so that you can see that there's several different types of openings when you're there. Primarily, the openings to this home, there's only one, and it's in a connector between the two domes. He has augmentations that were designed for the arch over the windows. He was going to put awnings over those and put air conditioners up there. Never materialized. Have you ever thought of tile? This building was built in Taiwan, and I was really intrigued with the fact that in their culture, or in this building, they liked the use of tile. Now, they used to let the airform alone, but everything else was tile. We've actually, on another spin-off on this, one of the coatings that we've used actually tile over the entire home. But let your imagination run wild. Look at the entryway that they have on this. This has actually got two floors with the deck coming out the second top. Isn't that kind of a cool idea? This is a low profile dome. You'll notice that the augment here, they've actually built the augment and leaned it out just a little bit to create a drip edge. And the augment on this side is a little different, where it came out and they actually created almost a bow window style. But you notice the softness of it. That's what the synthetic stucco does. It doesn't reflect it or make it glossy, but gives it a soft tone look. This was built somewhere in New Mexico. Blends in really well. Any of you people from the 60s remember the 60s and 70s, remember the block tile block? Or the glass block? This dome, they actually put it right in the airform and built the dome around it, so it had a nice opening or skylight.
If you remember earlier.
Here's a gentleman that built a lovely home. And you know, I have a lot of people that ask me, I would love to have a dome and all its benefits, but it's just so ugly. And then I say to myself and to them, you can make it look any way you want to look. All you have to do is start throwing money at it. These people here really enjoyed the look that you saw. They lived for several years down in Mexico. And they liked some of the Spanish styles and the tile roofs, the towers, etc. So they just started adding it on. And a lot of that extra added on, some of it's concrete, some of it's wood. The load bearing, I'm sure it was. A lot of that, you know, they do some of that engineering by the seat of their pants too. This happens to be built on top of an extinct volcano, so they're pretty solid on rock. It's okay. About every third year they have to sacrifice something to the god. I'm teasing. I like to throw this one in there because this is a really integral dome. It's four different domes, all interconnected. You'll notice that the garage door is recessed in an augment. But you'll notice the way that they decorated outside there with all these things here. I just love showing this. Bowling balls. They went down to the local bowling alley and gathered up, well, several different bowling alleys, and gathered up the bowling balls. They did painted them bright, and What was really funny was they had them out in the front yard too until the local high school kids started taking them and taking out mailboxes with them. So like, you can see there's a flag, this is military man, skylights. There's a lot of things that you can do.
Orange grass.
Orange grass, that's it.
Yes, Texas.
This is one of the most famous stones around. This is called Eye of the Storm. It was built in Sullivan's Island several years ago. It's a bit of a prolate ellipse. What that means is it's like an egg that's laying on its side, cut in half. And they have several different archways that are cut out of this. It's actually three floors, but all of the windows and the doors are recessed to create the openings. Now, it's really rated well for hurricanes and tornadoes, except every time you have an opening, there's a possible entrance for missiles or flying debris, which means that if you really want it to be safe, 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 you have to install that kind of glass, like sand or rated windows and doors to withstand those.
What's the exterior on that?
Say that again?
What's the exterior? Like, is it coated?
Yes, this one is coated with a product, a stucco roll-on, something of that nature. It's a synthetic stucco. They actually got it from, I can't remember what it was called. There's two or three of them that are out there that are really good. This was one of them. I think you got it like the Home Depot. Here's another view of the same house. On the deck, out overlooking, it's on Sullivan's Island, that's the Atlantic Ocean. Another view. If I get down, can you see better? If I start running out of time, holler, will you? Gothic arch. What's really interesting is I can do that Gothic arch also in the air form as an augmentation, but I have to force the shape. What does that mean? That means that I have to inflate it and then put a beam of some kind in the very top there and brace it up around the inflation. But doesn't that look nice? These are more dormer style. This one's built up in Canada. I'm not really certain how that dormer style works up there. Down here, I don't like the dormers simply because of the humidity factor we have here. Up in Canada, they may get a lot of snow, but I know that their humidity is quite low, so they may actually work out better up there. This is another view of Eye of the Storm. Here's another idea. You got almost all different kinds in this airport. Believe it or not, this is the dome home for Gary Clark. Gary E. Clark, he's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But his dome is straight up so that he could actually put all the doors and windows on the bottom floor right in the airform. They're totally straight, already plumb. And it's high enough that you can see he's got three floors in this thing. This second floors are almost straight enough to install in there, but he actually put dormers there. And he created this surface all the way around to give it kind of a skirt look. But you look at the garage, you notice how that's cut at a bit of an angle, and then he's inset the doorway there so that the garage dome hanging over itself actually creates an awning-shaped look to protect the garage door. By the way, I don't know if that dome is coated. That is probably just the straight air form right there. I show you this dome because this is the dome home, a 50-foot diameter dome. It was built by David for his mother before she passed away. It's on the South Fork of the Snake River. And what coating does that have on it?
Cedar shakes.
Now, there was a job.
How do you attach that?
I'm not going to tell you. I don't want to ever have to have anybody go through that again. Actually, what we did is we had to go from the top to the bottom. We run stringers that we would attach top and bottom. Sometimes we would use metal bands that would attach to the footing here and the metal plate up here. Sometimes those metal bands were made of plywood, or strings of plywood, and it would make the building look like a pumpkin. And then on those, we would put, for each row here, we would put another row of plywood that we could then staple the shingles into. Okay? Can everybody repeat after me, labor intensive?
Lots of
splinters. But what's really interesting is there's some people that really like the wood look, to have that wood hut look. So, can it be done? You know, David is an incredible man. Sometimes he's got all kinds of weird ideas. And people say, you can't do that. Oh, man, that, he just sets his jaw to show that he can. Yeah, don't tell me what I can't do. Yeah, that sounds like David. This is a fun photo because it shows the rainbow in the background. Some of you, we've talked a little bit about foam rock or covering the exterior with rock. There's a couple of things you need to understand is that many times these things can be done really easily if you have the right products. The right product that we had for this was a glue. It's an adhesive made by Dow Corning called 795. Doesn't have a name, it's got a number. And with that, we can actually glue the rock, the full rock, right onto the airform.
Is that grouted at all, or is it just loose?
You know, I wish I knew. I don't know for sure. I'm guessing it's grouted. This was built 2005 up in Utah for a single lady. And she is such a neat lady. She really wanted this rock look. She bought the full rock and did that herself. Okay.
And she did grout
it. Did she grout it?
Yeah, I found out from one of the other groups.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And then there was a sealant or something that she...
Oh, yeah, she has to seal it after you grout it. You got to seal it to keep the water from coming underneath.
Can you use real rock?
You could use real rock. As a matter of fact, we've done a couple of buildings where they've later combined these flagstone and Antelope Springs. We just looked at some of those a little while ago. This is the same building, different view.
Could you use the same adhesive
as real rock? You know, I don't think so. I think you have to use mortar, mastic, and you have to use wall ties to tie it into the shell. Now, why am I showing you this one? I'm not showing you the paint. I'm showing you the different designs of domes and different openings. This one is actually a space saucer. Isn't it kind of wild? I've got a guy in North Carolina that really would like me to build him a dome that looks a lot like this. He just doesn't have the money to do it right now. Here's an interesting building in Iowa.
Who built this?
Iowa, or Iowa. Pardon me?
Who built this space saucer?
I don't know. I really don't know. This is a company called RibTech. You can see that they've got a lovely dome that has got all kinds of bad problems on it. Well, after they built it, they asked us to come by and do something to help them. And Randy and Andrew South went up there with their crews, and they did a thing that we call metal cladding. They put metal siding all over the outside. Isn't that sharp looking now? It went from looking like this to looking like that. Nice, isn't it? But I also want you to notice not only that, the shape of the dome and the opening. There you go. It's a lot of tech screws, isn't it? Yeah, it was. Now, here's a building. One of the coatings that I want to mention to you about is one that we're developing. We call it monolithic stucco. It is a cementitious type coating. One thing that David has really been trying hard to do is to help cover the dome with a rock-like surface on the outside. It's inexpensive and durable and thin. We have been trying to experiment with a variety of different types of mixtures of chemical compositions and things to create a quarter inch to a half an inch coating that would cover the entire dome shell that would then be there. For years we've been trying this, and many things have worked, kind of. And then we get freeze-thaw syndrome, or we get expansion contraction, and we get cracks and they'll start falling off, killing the pets, plants, things like that. We don't like that. Matter of fact, some of the buildings out there, you might be able to see some of those experiments. And it's not going to bother me for you to see them because, you know, life happens. And this is one that we're getting more and more excited about because we're using some more chemicals that are a little different. There's a kind of a glue. It's called NC76, made by Roman Haas. We use it as one of the mixing agents as we mix the stucco. And then David is introducing something new into this. It's polystyrene ball beads, the stuff you get from the beanbag chair. And we're finding that if we mix a certain ratio in with this, it makes a nice good coating, and it helps take up the expansion and contraction with the styrofoam in there. Is it totally flawless? I sure wish I could say that right now with conviction. We've got it on a couple of buildings now for not quite a year. I'm still wanting to see how it looks and how it goes. Now this building here, we've shot it with the stucco. This is building number, it's actually building number 22B. This is that same building looking at the back door. Again, I'm showing you the augment. This was an augment as part of the building. And then, see, I can build the dome from here on down also, but what we have done is we've left that totally open and framed all of that so I can now use standard construction. I put the window in the top portion, and back here I can put an air conditioner. One of these little tiny air conditioners here, this is a 24-foot diameter dome. That little air conditioner there is what we use in Texas to cool the building. I use this air conditioner here because I can't find a smaller one. Now, there's the same building. I want you to make a note of this. I'm sorry the lights are out. You make notes. We're using a different type of a coating now that is proven to be really, really exciting for us. It's a silicone coating. There's two different places you can get it. The one we like the most is from a company called, a product called Seal Shield, S-I-L, Shield. We sell it on our website. It's a little pricey. It's, what is it, $30, $35, $40 a gallon, so I can't remember. It's expensive stuff, and you need to put the two coats on, but it's just incredible stuff. I want you to walk up to this dome. If you're interested in coatings, go look at this building here. It'll feel and touch, it'll feel almost like leather. Now, when we first started dealing with the silicone coatings, they had the chemistry a little different. We would apply the coating, and within a few weeks, it would just attract dirt, and it would just look dingy. So we stayed away from them for quite a while. And then they came back and said, ta-da! We changed the electronics in it. Instead of attracting dirt, it now repelled it. And I don't know exactly what they've done. They've run their guru blonde over it somehow, but that's what's happened. Is this stuff, we've got it in white, a variety of colors, and when it rains, it washes clean. They really look good.
Does it have to go
over stucco? I like it to go over stucco. It adheres well and bonds well with stucco. And this, by the way, this product is one of the few that has to be thinned with turpentine or mineral spirits. It's not a water base.
Can you use it to just on the air form?
You can use it on the air form. I'm still a little foggy whether or not I need a primer on it underneath it or not. One of the things that I'm not really sure of, but I do know that they have told me that if I put it right on the air form and then let it sit a week and come back and try to scrape it off with my fingernail, that it's still pliable enough, like an elastomeric coating, that I can't possibly scrape it off. It sticks and adheres, thank you, it adheres very, very well, but it can possibly get it to peel off.
How many years of experience being exposed to UV is that?
How long will this last exposed to the UV? A long time. It's silicone. It's rock. It's rock based. So it's going to last quite a while. 20 years plus. You got a question over here?
What UV is that?
This is unit 104. Sorry. I have teenage children at home. 22B. It's over by.
22B. Same one as the other. Okay. Oh, it's just the coating over the stucco.
There you go.
Do people live in these?
And rats, if they need. No, actually, this is not a house. You can barely see it right here. There's a copper-coated dome. It looks like a pumpkin. That's our shop. This is where we keep parts and tools and stuff.
So if we go walking around, nobody's going to come in and say, what are you doing looking at my windows?
No, no. We usually, if you look on your map here, there's the ones that will have the X's through them, or usually are the ones you cannot see. Or visit, okay? Well, we don't want you to. You may get met with the shotgun. This is Texas forever. They'll flush you out. Okay. This is a real close look at the surface. And the neat thing is we spray apply those. See how that's done? Da-da-da-da. We're to a point now where we have many units. We have over 70 of our rental units we're systematically putting the stucco coating, the silicone coating over every one. Picking a variety of colors. Some are tans, some are grays, some are whites. But this is all, again, experiments to see which ones are doing best. Here's a church that is 75,000 square foot, and we've actually coated the entire church with tile. The tile down here was 20 by 20, later up here at 16 by 16, and then 12 by 12. There was no grout in any of the tile. It is all adhered to the dome with that Dow Corning 795. This is the church in Birmingham. Pardon me?
Did they hire the space shuttle maintenance crew to do that tile work?
I'll not comment on that, seeing as how my wife used to work in the NASA job teaching. It's all part of the fun.
It's a ceramic tile, right?
Yeah. You can see how it progressed. They really love it. Not only is it a nice, durable surface, self-cleaning, maintenance-free, there are many other domes that have been tiled. And the domes that are tiled can be very beautiful and have very little maintenance. We have some domes that are out there on our property that we have tiled with bathroom tile on the outside. Here's how we do it. We just glue it and attach it right to the dome airform itself. I'm going to try to get through most of these really quick. David, when he first did this, I saw him doing that. I said, what are you thinking of now? And he said, I want you to go get one of those tile off of there. So I went out with my pliers and my crowbar, and I said, I'll show him how silly this is. I started working on one and trying and pushing and pulling, and finally I heard it start to give away, and then I realized that it wasn't the tile that was coming off of the airform. I was separating the airform from the foam underneath it. So I've kind of liked the idea ever since.
Excuse me, Greg.
Yes?
Can you apply these tiles, ceramic tiles, to concrete, like EcoShell?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good then. That's what I mean.
Does that make your life happy now? Good. All right.
Any of those tiles grout?
None of them are grout. At all. Now, could you grout them? Yeah, you could. And then you'd have to seal it so that you wouldn't get the freeze thaw syndrome.
If you're firming part of the dome where it's burned, does it need to be coated?
Oh, if you're burning right over the airform, no. The reason is the airform, the biggest enemy that the airform has is the sun, UV from the sun. If we cover it with dirt, man, we're keeping the sun off of it, it'll last for a long, long time.
So you just have to do what's
exposed. That's right. And you may have to move some of the dirt, go down with the coating, and cover it back up after it dries. Okay? Well, we've gone over, haven't we? Dow Corning, 795. All right? Can't tell you how grateful we are to have you here learning about the domes. The openings and coatings are very, very important because that's how you're going to be getting in and out. That's how you're going to be seeing out of your domes. If they leak, you're going to be very happy with them. You want something that's very functional.